Ramble.
You in a
welcome to Guilty Pleasures.
Give it to me, Tucci.
What?
Let's fucking go.
You missed the sound effect.
God damn it. Do it again.
Give it to me, Tucci.
When did you make that?
This morning.
Yes.
Guilty Pleasures. Welcome back to Tucci Month. Welcome back to the studio, Mr. Miles Bonsignore.
Give it to me, Tucci.
Yeah, uh-huh. What's up, Tucci Gang?
Tucci Gang.
What's up?
Some of you don't know the name, but that's not
the You, where has this been?
We've been on COVID. I was out.
SNL. No, Miles had COVID, came back with a fucking fire.
That's damn right.
And I think that's what COVID brain does to you.
Damn right.
Everybody should
Garrett
go out
for
there.
For sure. You're going to get on Reddit.
All right. You watch
conspiracy theorists.
Tell me, reunite. That sound, give it to me, Tucci. Is that you pitch shifted?
Yeah,
of course it is.
It's my voice this morning.
Earning his fucking paycheck.
Which I came in early, and then we delayed by an hour, which is good, because that meant that I could make more sound effects. I'm going to dole out over the rest of the episode.
Miles, I'm going to march right into the... As soon as this is over, I'm marching right over into the production office. Yeah. You just got yourself a $10 raise.
Woo! Yeah.
Not much.
That's a lot in this
$10
economy.
$10, baby.
You can buy chicken now.
That's right.
Every sound $20. Effect you play, you will get another
$10
bonus.
Alio e olio.
What did that say?
I'll play it again later. It's fine.
Wow.
Well, we are here to round out Tucci Month, which... with maybe the Tucciest film that's ever Tucci'd before. We're talking about Julie and Julia, the Nora Ephron classic.
Ooh.
And Miles B in the house. You love this film.
This movie is top five for me at least.
Wow.
I think that it is a movie that is pure joy. It's not like people think movies need to be like freaking smart. And I think... This is a dumb film. No, this is not a dumb film.
This movie is perfect to me.
I just find it to be so charming. It's about love.
Yes.
Meryl Streep is the fucking best.
Yes. Yeah.
Stanley Tucci in this is adorable. Yes. Meryl Streep dwarfs him.
Adorable. I'd say he's a fox.
He's a fuck machine.
Fox.
Yeah. He fucks hard.
He fucks hard in this movie.
That's all he does. Yeah. Shave his head and fuck.
Wow. And to me, this type of movie, all he does is
as a gay man. It's incredible what he does.
Okay, well, there is a snippet of him saying, I am not a homosexual. And I thought that was a very funny thing.
I should have put that on the soundboard.
I am not a homosexual.
I am not a homosexual. And I don't believe it.
But to me, this is like, that's a movie that, I don't know when the fuck it came out, but it to me is a classic type of film that's not really made anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, we're doing like establishing shots with sort of like lovely little music and that type of thing. I just adore. And I wish more movies would try not to be so smart today where they're trying to outthink the viewer and be like, what if we subverted what the beginning of a movie was? And it's like, no, this just works.
Just let it be cute.
Yeah.
This was like a feel good.
This is like jazz to me. If that makes sense.
Dude.
Where I feel like jazz is perfect music, and the fact that America made it is very special, and we've moved past that formula because we're just like, oh, we want something new. Mm-hmm. But we never really fucking needed to, if you ever like think about it. So the same shit with this movie where it's like, yeah, all of these films were kind of doting on the same formula, and we move past it because we're like, we need to progress as a society, of course, or show different types of stories.
Right.
But you really didn't need to. This is pure. It is pure joy.
Yeah.
I know I'm doing my not synopsis, but my review of the film at the very beginning. But I truly just think that we never really need to move past this type of movie.
It's a story of love between so many things. A woman and her husband, another woman and her husband, a woman with food, another woman with food, and another woman in love with another woman.
It's about food, and there's a lot to talk about the food, but it's a love story to art, right? It's about the way that your heroes in art, in pop culture, whatever, are more real in your heart and in your mind than who they were as people. It doesn't really matter who they are.
It is
to
Oh, I was going to say it's a great study on Never Meet Your Heroes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Like, where, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. We'll dive in. Yeah. I feel like, to me, watching it, this was like chicken noodle soup as a film.
Yeah,
100%.
This was climbing into a little snuggy fort. This was the most Christmas, non-Christmas movie I've ever watched.
I felt Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I think it's Thanksgiving.
I mean, this is autumnal. This is wrap yourself up in a blanket with some hot cocoa. Yeah. This is salve for the soul. It actually made me think many times of our good buddy, Kate Peterman, and the way that she talked about Bridget Jones's Diary.
It's that same formula.
It's just like,
yeah.
There's some conflict, but sort of.
Yeah, not really. Not particularly.
But barely.
Yeah.
Is
it that the Tooch only signs on for these types of films? Because I do believe that Devil Wears Prada is the same style.
There's something really clean and simple about this that I think is quite lovely.
Exactly. Exactly. Clean and simple. Clean and fucking simple.
By the way, I want you all to know that the Tooch board is going to stay past 2G Mars.
Forever.
Wait, what came out first? Devil's Wear Prada or this?
They were 1 year after each other.
Right.
Which one?
This was 1 year after Devil Wears Prada.
Prada was 2008, and this is 2009.
It's got to be the solve for how bad Meryl was to Tooch and Devil Wears Prada, that she was like, I'm going to do you one solid and I'm going to fucking love you.
I love that they love working together.
I do too.
I love it.
It's because he's a gay man.
Yeah.
You need to watch it.
I will fucking stand by that on the internet. I'll say it right to his face.
Also, and I think before we get started, it's important to note a sort of sad bit of trivia, but Julie Powell passed away very recently. And devastatingly sad. She was super young. She was 49.
Yeah. What happened?
I don't really know. I think it was sort of a random.
She had cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Cardiac arrest. But that movie, this movie being based on her and like her writing is incredible. It's so wonderful and very sad that she's gone, but you know.
So if you have not seen Julie and Julia, it stars Meryl Streep as Julia Childs, the great famed cookbook author, but it also stars Amy Adams as Julie, a temp worker in New York who's going through a little bit of a depression episode, and she decides that she is going to cook every single of Julia Child's 540-something recipes and catalog it in her blog over the course of 365 days. So you have these dual stories of Julie in the present, Julia in the past, and the way that the recipes reach through time to connect these two women. As the film says in the beginning, it's based on two true stories, or as I like to say, two cheese stories.
Yeah, give us one, Miles.
Here's a recipe that my dad used to cook on a Friday night.
So, Miles, I want to know, when did the film Julie and Julia first enter your orbit?
I watched this movie with my mom when I was in high school.
Oh,
and I fucking loved it. We both loved it. My mom loves Julia Child. And I didn't really know who Julia Child was because that's like not my generation. But I watched this movie with my mom and I loved it so much. And to me, it's chicken noodle soup. And I've watched it like probably five times, and I watch it on a plane. It makes me cry.
Oh, yeah.
It's just such a beautiful movie, and there's something about a movie that, honestly, and this is a light guilt, but I don't need the conflict that is in the movie to be there at all. And it's fine that it is there, but I don't need it. To me, the movie, the conflict of her internal struggle is conflict enough.
Mm-hmm. You just want to float.
Yeah.
Yeah. This could have been a full non-conflict Paddington 2 style movie.
There was so much conflict in Paddington.
Yeah.
He went to prison.
Yeah.
He had to get out.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
With goodness.
Okay.
Not a single conflict.
I'm going to confess, I really don't know much about Julia Childs. I know that she's a person, and now I know what I know from this movie. But you, or I don't know if you guys have any connection at all, can you speak to who she is as the mythos of Julia?
She changed cooking.
Yeah.
She changed the way that American women cooked forever. Like, I think that previous to this, it was sort of this idea that, American.
It should be easy.
It should
fast.
Be easy, fast, and that American women didn't really like have time or expertise in the way that they could cook things. And I think that Julia Child brought this like
slow down, bitch.
And she was like, she was just sort of brought this like brilliance to cooking and this ease of access to like suburban women.
Yeah, who were getting preservatives out the ass.
Yeah.
Like we were going down a boxed road for a while.
And you're saying American women, because this was a time in which the housewives were at home and expected to cook for the husband. Mm-hmm. But there was a lack of passion and identity. And Julia, you see her in the beginning of the movie as someone who like doesn't feel she's floating.
She's
she doesn't feel like she has a purpose.
Personality, which also was what made her different from the women of the time, is that like she was physically huge, like she was very tall and boisterous, and like she also had such a big personality. Which chefs are notoriously cocky fucks.
Oh yeah,
they're quiet, they're bossy, they're sharp, they're edgy.
Well, they have to be. They're manning a pirate ship.
Exactly, and she made it seem like you could. Yeah, take a mindful moment and have fun while cooking.
Yeah. And I think that when, I mean, in speaking to chef shit, I think that when everything is on the clock, just inherently or like baked in with food, you kind of get bossy.
Yeah.
Because if you're not at your station at, you know, whatever minute it takes to take this brioche off.
Brioche.
Yeah.
What a fun word.
Is that a cheese?
It's bread.
Bread. If you're not there and the shit burns
and then
we have to start over again and start over this 3-hour process, then fuck you.
What's the hardest thing all of you have cooked?
I've made duck a l'orange.
What?
Oh, fuck that rules.
You boned a duck?
Give it to me too, G.
You boned a duck?
No. It's just it was a duck breast that you just buy.
Titties.
Duck titties. And it tastes so good, but it's very difficult to get like the sauce.
The glaze.
Correctly. The glaze.
What about that you, Miles? Rules. You strike me as a dude who fucking cooks.
I do love to cook. And I made Nam Khao Tod, which is this like crispy rice salad from the Night and Market cookbook. And it's just like got a lot of different steps and it's really fucking good. And that was probably like the most complicated thing that I made.
Wow.
But I love
Zach,
it.
Zach, you cook?
Pass. there's something. Okay, so I don't like really enjoy cooking. It's well established, but I fucking love a movie where people love cooking. This Ratatouille, it feels to me, I know that cooking is its own thing, but I said it before, it feels like a stand-in for art, the act of creation.
Oh, see, I saw it as sex. This movie is so fucking horny.
Give it to me too.
Literally, did you not?
I'm shocked from you, Kelsey, that you saw it. That you saw this as sex. I could have never saw this coming.
You never say that stuff.
Actually, I never not shocked at all. I'm sorry. What you saying that made me think that you were being sarcastic.
I was.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Fuck.
It's okay.
I missed the bit.
It was biting for me too. I was like, is he fucking joking? But if you don't realize, like, they fuck after meals. In every scene.
Yes.
Oh, I realize.
Oh, yeah. It's on the bit.
The shots of food are different. And like, I'm glad you touched on this because this was like my biggest pleasure was food was shot different. You get movies like Chef now, you get Anthony Bourdain shows. Everything's really colorful. Everything's really bright. Everything is really accessible, fun, punchy, full of personality. And this food was fucking slutty.
Yeah.
This food was dark and shadowy.
Love it.
It felt heavy. Mm-hmm.
Especially the way they shot it in Julie's apartment.
Yeah.
Yes.
She gets home from her temp job and she's like, what did she say? There's such a relief in knowing that if you add whipped eggs to milk and sugar and whatever, it makes this frosting. And it's like, you have this like pie.
Chocolate pie.
Chocolate thing. And she's just like, layering chocolate on, you're like, oh, give it to me, Julie.
Yeah, and like the kitchen was really kind of small and gross.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't have to be this sexy French shit.
Also, I just think that Amy Adams is bad as hell.
Oh,
that,
my God.
That
yeah.
Cut,
so
that
she,
haircut.
She's like a shapeshifter to where Tucci.
Give it to me, Julie.
But Arrival is one of my favorite sci-fi films.
Oh, so good.
And she's in that. And you wouldn't even guess.
Unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would be like, wait, is it Amy Adams or Jessica Chastain in this movie?
Yeah.
And
Max.
you know, and Jessica Chastain gives more of a science-y vibe. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I mean, maybe in Arrival it was Jessica Chastain. And then you look and it's Amy Adams and you're like, well,
what the fuck?
Why is she a scientist in this? And then you see this movie and you're like, God damn, Amy Adams is bad as hell.
And then you go to Enchanted and you're like, what can she do?
What can she do? She's doing so.
I'm making this statement. She's our next Meryl.
Oh, I think that she already is.
Been.
Yeah.
She's done been that.
She's encroaching.
So what did she win Oscars for?
She hasn't. And that's the big thing. We're like waiting for
she's
Amy's
been nominated.
Oscar.
Yeah.
She's been nominated a bunch. This was not one that she was. So Meryl was nominated for this film, and that was the only, this was the year, like the string of years in which Meryl couldn't fart on the sidewalk without getting an Oscar nomination.
Wait, I'm sorry. Heart pause.
You are whining.
Yes.
Do you mean fart on the sidewalk as in she's walking on the sidewalk and she farts, or does she pull her pants down against the hot concrete
and
let out a fart?
My God. You don't a visual.
She bends her 6'7" ass.
Yeah.
Her creamy white bottom.
Also, just really quick, I was looking up Julie Childs, because I had no idea
who
she was.
Like.
And I was like, oh, wow, this is great. And then I look down, and I see her bio. She was 6'2".
Yeah, she's
great. Put down the pan and pick up the rock. What the fuck are you doing?
Play basketball.
Play basketball.
duck,
That's probably why they were like, you don't belong in here. You belong on a court.
Julia Childs needs to be found the WNBA and be like, oh, breaking your ankles.
Get jumped on, bitch.
This is probably the perfect time to talk about Tucci. Let's talk about
Kelsey,
their relationship.
We're in the middle of doing a bit where we're Julia Child playing basketball.
She's plays basketball.
It makes me so happy.
She's throwing the ball off the backboard and dunking.
Okay. I want a deep fake of Julia Child dunking.
Yes.
Someone get
on that. That's all I fucking need.
Ooh, I've got ice in my veins.
Ooh, that's a 3, baby.
LeBron can get fucked.
Have we moved on? Can
You're
I? Can
in
we
my
talk about
house now?
No, still not yet. Got
and
it.
She's like moving her fucking. She has the exact same haircut.
I love that she talks like a turkey.
Yeah,
yes.
She does talk like
a turkey. And also, she's from Pasadena. So where did this accent come from?
Traveling around the world.
Yeah, she's just sort of fancy. But in a really accessible way.
She came from rich.
But that's how she sounded in real life.
No, for yeah.
And but she's passed from Pasadena.
She one of the great special effects in this film, maybe the best special effect since Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. She's a giantess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not real. She's in real life, she's shorter than Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meryl is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's 5'6", Tucci's 5'8".
Such a good job.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Yeah.
I have no idea how they did it.
I think they're she's just on like
stilts
or like she's in dresses the whole time and then they put her in
a box under her.
But like if you put me on stilts, you'd be like
heels.
That bitch got a tiny head for
they
that
probably
body.
Just put massive platforms heels.
But like how's her head not look like out of
hair.
Perspective? I think they must have done some forced perspective shots or something.
You think they've wasted just time doing forced perspective like
it's all CGI.
Yeah.
They just put her in stilts probably.
Whatever it was a effective.
Yeah. And the sister, Jane Lynch.
Also huge.
Oh my God.
That was such a good reveal.
When he's
such
so a good small.
Yes.
And then when she runs over from the train.
Yes. It's like two wild turkeys.
It was so funny.
Finding each other in the wild.
I did love too that they, because at first I was like, this bench is really tall.
Yeah.
And then they did have a scene between the sisters where they like acknowledged it. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
thank God they're talking about how giant you are.
But I love that scene with Jane Lynch's character where she's, she's trying to, Julia is trying to introduce her taller gentleman friend to her sister, and she's like, you guys could probably date, blah blah blah. So she's taking this gentleman over to meet her sister, and she's already talking to a guy, and she like has her arm above him, like looking down like
resting
a fucking
on the wall.
High school football player talking to a junior or whatever. And it was just so funny. And then they were like looking at her, like watching her the whole time, just like, she's not gonna run off with with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Like cousin child or whatever his name is.
And then it just hard cuts to
their wedding. And then
so good.
Such a good bit.
Yeah.
Now behind every giantess Theramissian goddess
there it
is the short king.
Yeah.
Some of you don't know the name, but that's that guy from the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tucci could not be hotter.
Yeah, no. He's hot as fuck.
He was sexy as fuck.
Yeah.
He was very hot. I think that there should be like a Mr. Skin site for all of the hot Tucci scenes.
100%.
Mr. Tucci. Some
Mr.
shit like that.
Tucci skin.
It's called Mr. Tucci. Dome, and it's just his bald beautiful head.
Getting head.
No, he's only had hair in Hunger Games, right?
That's true. And
he doesn't need it. I'm not saying that as a diss.
I appreciate
it. No, he's the hottest bald man.
For sure.
And I say the deep, deep shame that I feel knowing that I paid money to get my hair back.
Yeah.
When you could have been a Tucci.
When Stanley Tucci is walking this earth.
Yeah.
And I paid money to run away from my destiny.
Yeah.
For shame.
Yeah.
Maybe this is your moment.
Maybe you cut it down just to see what you would look like.
Yeah, shave it all off.
I don't think I deserve it.
He's just got the best jaw. It's the something it's about the him. That
it's
just
a
works.
Heavy jaw.
It's a heavy jaw.
He talks out his mouth.
He talks out his. It's a very heavy jaw. It's a very smooth and calculated way of speaking to you.
Yeah.
Like he's never in a rush to have any type of conversation.
Yeah.
Also, what's his accent?
Perfect.
Incredible. Yeah, it's just perfect.
He's definitely got an accent.
It's just Italian.
Classic.
It's just Italian. That's what he is. He's a classic man.
He smells like cologne no matter what time of day.
He has the fucking signet ring all the time.
Yeah.
They don't make him like that anymore.
No.
He also had a tiny mustache, the little line mustache.
Oh, I love that little mustache.
That's really nice,
that little mustache. He has the mustache, but then he shaves the top of it, so it's just the little.
Oh, it's just little.
He looks like a little
He's
clue
fucking
character.
Groomed.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And in this movie, he plays a government agent that like may or may not have been a spy.
Yeah.
He was
not
a spy. It was during the McCarthy era.
Where they thought
it's the Red Scare.
The Red Scare.
As a sad chapter in American history where we were all turning against each other. And so they were living out globally. They had traveled to China. And so that enough was just going somewhere else was enough to get you labeled as a possible communist.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that they were dealing with in their life, which was, I had no idea. Really
their relationship, something we didn't touch on, is their relationship represented something very big for that time. Because of how different they looked, they got a lot of shit he got a lot of shit for why would you be with a woman like this?
Yeah.
Because he was shorter than her. He made more money than her. At one point, he let her just kind of do whatever she wanted. And there's, I think even a line Amy Adams acknowledges where she's like, it didn't matter what they looked like. They loved each other. And you have no doubt in this movie, and Tucci does such a good job of loving the fucking shit out of her. And it made you feel like there didn't need to be that. That didn't need to be brought up in their storyline. It was like, let them just love hard.
Now, it's not just physical for me with the Tucci. There's an emotional depth.
Yeah,
but I do want to talk about the physical.
Okay. There's something really clean and simple about this that I think is quite lovely. Yeah.
I agree.
How simple is it?
There's this one shot where he's walking. He's got like the newsboy cap.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this tight white short sleeve shirt, these slacks. And it's like, oh, Tucci, you've been working out? Mm-hmm. What the fuck? Stanley, he kisses Meryl and at dinner. But it's like they're at the dinner table and it's tender. It's open mouth, like more than just a smooch. And I'm like, it's sweet. But it's also sexy. And I'm like, oh my God. Now, a little spoiler alert. We, next week's movie, Falling for Christmas, starring Lindsay Lohan, the three of us watched together last night. And then we were going to watch Julie and Julia do a little double feature. And we started it. We were like, it's getting late. You know what? Get out. Garrick like is about to fall asleep.
Garrick
he's still jet lagged.
With his mouth
we're
open.
Like, get out of here. We'll go watch it separately in the morning. So I watched the movie alone. And thank God you guys left
when
you did.
Were you so horny?
Because the very next scene, Stanley Tucci is laying in bed in this freaking pajama full body suit.
Yeah.
Open, like
chest.
It's open chest. TV. It's like Jeff Goldblum laying in Jurassic Park. You know that meme. It is too intimate, I would say.
Yeah.
And intimate. Then he fucks Meryl.
Yeah.
It is the most...
he fucks Meryl.
It is the most, off-screen, but still in my heart.
Yeah.
That Valentine's Day card of them two naked in the bathtub, that's real. They actually sent that out of them two. Like, they were fucking sex addict, hippie.
Yeah.
Fucks when it came to their sex life.
There's some good sexing in this movie about food, which I think speaks to your point about
food's horny.
Foods be horny.
Yeah.
After we haven't talked about Julie much, and we'll pivot at a point, but Julie dicks down her husband so good that he literally rolls over and goes, "Thank you, God."
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was such a sick move because he does that, and then she sits down and still starts going back to work.
Yeah.
She's like,
because they're eating good, y'all. You're not thinking about how good these men are eating at all times.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're well fed.
Yeah.
And they're well fucked.
I thought exclusively about it.
I'm like, and okay.
It's
Julie's husband's a fucking bitch.
He sucks.
He sucks.
But them working together in this and then them also doing Sharp Objects is such a hilarious, crazy reverse of like, you know. But he is like,
that's like Meryl
annoying.
And Tucci. They reverse power dynamic.
That's right. Him. But I will say like, their relationship is fine. I guess like.
He's such a bitch.
He's just kind
of. I thought it was fine. He kind of like, what she's doing is obsessive. But it's just, we like her so...
It was making her a miserable person at one point.
Yeah, at one point,
He was like, I support you, but not if you're going to be a fucking cunt about it.
You think he was? She wasn't... I mean, she was like, look, she was deep in a depression hole.
Yeah.
But like, he is this level of toxic positivity that I cannot stand where everything that's going bad... Like, I wrote down some of the things that he said in that fight where he's like, this thing that she's really been looking forward to, this New York Times writer or someone, no, it's Julia Child's editor, cancels dinner, and he goes, more stew for us.
He that's cute.
Doesn't even take a moment to validate
her
hurt. And then he keeps saying, could be worse, you'll live. Somehow you're reasonable. Like, he just keeps being like, doesn't matter. And like, fucking be there. It's a terrible...
Yeah.
It's a really shit, like, and dump his ass.
You know what sucks about it, too, is it's sort of the thing of where people don't get, like, digital media careers, because she's a blogger. It's like a new, she's, like, on the precipice, which I guess we can get to in a second, but it really makes me be like, man, blogs were kind of fucking cool.
Yeah, they were. Like,
it sucks that now, like, blogs became vlogs, became tweets, and now we don't, like, really have any intellect going on.
Now they're Instagram captions.
Yeah, it, like, sucks. But I was like, oh, that is cool to just, like, read something somebody wrote.
And have so many fans and how I was gonna bring that up too is like this really had a weird like virality like digital media story that we like don't think about, and especially probably people who watch this weren't even alive when there were like blogs happening at that level but that to gain that audience and to like have that exposure pre-social media was crazy.
Oh yeah, it's really wild.
Did you follow any blogs?
Oh, I'm sure.
I think I followed Donald Glover's.
Oh, you know what? I do remember reading when he was like doing Derek stuff.
So Julie is a writer who gave up on her dreams. Who amongst us hasn't had a depressed project that got out of control?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you, during the pandemic, I know people that started parody music videos related to the pandemic. That was a dark time.
Yeah. Wow.
I know someone, a guy who started a fashion blog,
gardening, bread. Everyone was into bread.
Everybody was doing that fucking
sourdough.
I think that this movie actually is a little dangerous in that it makes you think that you can do it.
Quit your day job.
Interesting.
And I would say don't.
Well, you know what's funny? Like, I do get what you mean. I think that to me, this movie is like this doesn't exist anymore. Like this facet of the internet where like, if you actually are the most interesting and you're doing a really interesting thing, like that doesn't work anymore.
No.
Like that doesn't matter.
You have to be hot
and loud.
It's
beef bourguignon.
Yeah. Like that is so fucking cool, but it doesn't exist anymore. But it did. What I love about it too, though, even like she goes viral, but I kind of like that she's not necessarily doing it to go viral. She eventually starts doing it. And I think that makes her miserable. And that's why he's like, your readers will understand. But I like the idea that no matter who you are or what you're doing, you can like devote yourself to a project that is outside of your skill set, and that like that can bring you joy throughout your whole, you know, week.
Yeah, because it takes your mind off of like the mundaneness of your day job.
Yeah, right. She works in the World Trade Center, right?
Yeah. No, she is a temp at a call center for people post 9/11
that need help in like insurance and renovation help.
It's a bleak job.
But a really interesting time capsule too.
Right.
Like, that's another crazy part of this movie.
When the 9/11 shots happened, we all went, whoop.
Yeah.
What? Well, first, what? I was like, why?
Yeah. Why?
I know.
Nora, but it
what
was
are you
a
doing?
Part of her story, which is crazy because you're right. It reminds us how old this was.
Right.
Yeah. And that makes me feel old because I'm like, that wasn't
that long ago. It was 10 years ago, right? Yeah. Nope. It was 20.
Yikes. I can't believe also that she had never eaten an egg.
Oh, my God. Thank God you brought this up.
Is that because...
What the fuck is that about?
You are whining.
God damn right I am.
Is that because
of
like her own dietary restrictions?
No. She said because she thought it was going to be greasy and slimy.
Yeah, she thought it was going to be gross. Like, so she had like a texture thing. And then, that's fair.
Dude, no, absolutely not.
I think that's
How
fair.
How many
I
times think, were you confronted with an egg before you turned 10?
A lot.
In mood.
A lot.
In meals.
I want you to listen to me. If you are out there right now
and
you've never tried an egg,
I'm waiting for you to. And then
I don't.
Give it to me too, G.
And to try a poached egg as your first egg?
Pasta, aglio, e olio.
Yeah, exactly. Try it as fucking any. Try it as a scramble.
Yeah.
Try it as a frittata.
Right.
Ease yourself into it. That's like doing a raw dog fucking deep throating the egg raw, man.
Yeah, man.
No, I think having a runny egg first is kind of
psychotic.
Crazy.
It's psychotic.
But like, I still get it. There are people who don't try a lot of shit because they just didn't have it when they were younger. And they're like, fuck this
thing. Everyone has access to eggs. Everyone.
I mean, everybody has access to eggs, sure.
Across the world, chickens exist.
If she never had
shitting out eggs.
If she never had it.
But why wouldn't she have?
I don't know. Her parents are weird.
She lives in Queens. She's had an egg sandwich. There's an egg sandwich on every block.
This is absolutely fucking insane behavior. Yeah. And you trying to be like, no, it's cool.
I'm not saying it's cool. I'm just saying that it happens.
It does happen.
Find me one person who has never tried an egg. I need to know who you are, and we need to have a little chat.
All right, sound off in the comments.
If you've never had an egg.
If you've never had an egg, let us fucking
know. I need to
know
what fucking cardboard box you've been living in, trapped away in a closet.
Wow, not even under a rock. A cardboard box?
Yep, and you're locked inside of a closet in someone's basement.
That's damn right.
That's cool.
Anybody seen The Patient?
No.
The Avengers linking up on screen for the first time. Rose and Jack at the helm of the Titanic.
Yeah.
Avis and Julia meeting in the train station.
Aww.
It's beautiful.
Some scenes are just cinema.
Yeah, full
body chills. Mm-hmm. Seeing that woman meet her pen pal for the first time.
Remember pen pals?
Oh my God, no. Never had one.
Really?
Kind of weirded me out.
They tried to set one up at my school, and I was like, fuck that.
Yeah,
you're not giving me homework to make a friend. Fuck you.
Garrick was cool enough, y'all.
That's cool.
No,
some of us needed a little boost.
No, because it's just
gonna
be some adult man being like, "What are you wearing?" or some weird shit. No, fuck that. I'm not gonna
Kelsey. No. Were you like railing down Ritalin and then writing to your pen pal?
Yeah, right.
You had the craziest childhood.
I didn't start Ritalin until later in life.
Railing down Ritalin.
I loved writing as a child. Yeah. So when they made us do pen pals, I was like, "I'll do yours for you. Can I write yours?" Like,
Exactly. So now I'm not even talking to.
Yeah.
So imagine if my pen pal is doing that same shit with their uncle.
Like, you had stranger danger.
Stranger danger immediately.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so mad that we got away from screen names on the internet.
Yeah. That's a fun time.
I kept mine.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, you did. Fuck.
Porn did it. Was that yours as a kid?
Anonymity.
Yeah. Oh, anonymity.
Oh, I was miles per hour 666.
Oh, six.
Not 669?
Kind of fucking fire. Not 669?
Is that the devil's numbers?
666 is the devil's numbers.
Yeah.
I was California girl 17.
That's hilarious because you grew up in Florida.
Yeah.
And that look, I was born here and I found my way home. Yeah. I was always meant to be a California girl.
Yeah.
Woo!
You brought up in the beginning of the episode this idea of never meet your heroes.
Yeah.
And so to build up to it, Amy Adams, Julie, she goes viral.
Mega.
They do a
just like Evan
article just like Evan Hansen.
Thank you for
but without
that
falling
up for
out
me.
Of the tree.
That we know of.
She's written about in the New York Times, and everyone is blowing her up, being like, I read
Food
about
Network.
You in the New York Times. It was so great.
Publishers.
Went down a little different for me, but that's cool for you,
How
Julie.
How did it go down for you?
Yeah.
Here's a recipe that my dad used to cook on a Friday night.
Did you do the keys?
No.
Oh.
So she gets a call that Julia Childs... Mm-hmm. had said some not nice things.
Yeah. Commented on her.
What did she say exactly? Article. She said...
it was like a waste of time.
And, yeah, you didn't respect me. Or she didn't respect me.
But she doesn't know if she had just read the New York Times article or read her blog, too.
And that is all we ever hear about it.
Yeah. Which you is insane for a cinematic masterpiece that tells two stories that you're like, they're eventually going to meet. No. They're going to cross paths.
No,
they have to.
This is still based
you're
off
holding,
of a true story.
Yeah. Hope, though.
Yeah,
I know.
But didn't eventually Julia Childs become friends with her or some shit?
Later, I think that, I mean, maybe we'll learn in the fun facts, but later I do believe that they, she was like, okay, it's fine. Like, it wasn't like they didn't have like a triumphant thing, but it was like later Julia Child was like, yeah, I guess it's like bringing more people to
wow.
cook. And,
but I mean, what did Julia Childs believe that this woman was doing?
Like bastardizing her recipes and being like, I can make it and write about it on the internet. And it's like, I think that Julia Child probably believed that she was like taking these recipes and being like slapping them together and not respecting the art of cooking. And,
got it.
And also probably, I mean, she was like fucking 90.
She's 90.
You know, like you're an old woman and you're like, you can't do what
she
I did.
Was, like she was probably like, this woman better not be black. I swear to God. Yeah, she's like just really mad about it. Fucking
you're right.
Like, she's
was
just,
there a single black person in this film?
No. Every time I think about somebody, some older white woman being like 85,
it's
just like,
yeah.
I swear to God, if they're a minority, I'm going to lose my top.
What a freak. You know what's it? I would be, I'm not. Like, I don't know. When you live in LA, I do feel like there's a certain thing where you see like fucking, you know, Brad Pitt getting a Klondike. And so you it like being nervous around
Klondike.
Celebrities. I just like you see people doing regular stuff. But my point is there's a lot of celebrities now I'll be like, oh, that's kind of cool. If I was behind Stanley Tucci in line, I'd be nervous.
I would. Oh. Would you say anything to him?
I might be like, hey, I'm a really big fan. Like, because he's just so great.
Yeah.
Even though there's other people that are bigger than him or
do you
whatever.
You want to play it out, how it would go?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, okay.
And where are you guys?
We're at like Go Get Him Tiger.
Okay.
And Silver
Coffee
Lake.
Bean.
Yeah. Coffee Bean.
For
coffee
those people bean. Who don't live here.
God, Coffee Bean.
Tucci is a Trader Joe's man.
He's definitely getting
there's
fucking
not a
maple.
Chance that he's never even heard of Trader Joe's.
So he's standing in line.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, he's on his phone.
No, he's not on his phone.
Shop.
He's present. He's present.
He's present. He's looking at the menu.
Yeah. Tucci is shopping at the local Italian mart.
Yeah.
Market.
Yeah,
he has
with a baguette.
Things that are like
Italy's
imported
like
directly
for
him, and he goes to the back and he's like, hello, Fabrizio. How are we?
Yeah.
Fabrizio?
He sniffs the cheese and he goes, oh, that's magnificent. Thank
okay,
you.
So we're in line.
All right, so here's
he's present. He's looking at the menu.
Yeah, he's just like looking at the menu, like, wow. He's like loving
the coffee
it.
Bean.
He's
wow.
coming. And I'm
you
going,
smell the aromas in
I'm just going, like, he's probably holding a baguette.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
I am.
Oh, hey, are those good?
Oh, wow. Hi, yes. The baguettes here are magnificent.
Oh, I'll have to grab one too.
I just wanted to say
Miles
that I'm a
panic.
I just want to say I'm a really big fan.
I just want to say you're just a fantastic actor and I really respect a lot of what you do.
Oh wow. Well, thank you so much. It's a real honor and a privilege to do what I do, and I appreciate you for watching the cinema.
Yeah, no problem. Let me, you know what? Let me pay for your baguette.
You know what? I can't let you do that, but I would insist that you try this goat cheese with fig spread. And in fact, I'm going to put it on my tab and I want you to tell me how you like it.
I certainly will. How should I let you know?
I'll know.
All right, okay. I just want to say, this is easily the hottest Zach has ever been. That was a hot ass impression. That was wild. I felt like I was watching. That was wild. I felt like I'm attracted to me.
Wow. That was so cool.
Like to know that that's in you, but you're actively choosing not to be that way is so confounding.
It's crazy that the spirit of Tucci can really pass through you and turn you into a...
Can I try, if you were in line, can I show you what I would do?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so you're looking at the menu?
Yeah, you're still Tucci.
Okay, so I'm here and I am looking.
Tucci! Tucci gang.
I have to ask that you not do that.
Sir, we have a podcast.
Yeah.
We did a whole month of your movies.
Jesus Christ.
Would you come on next year when we do Tucci Month again?
Wow, that is quite an honor.
What's your agent's number?
You need to stop talking so I can respond.
Kelsey is deranged.
I've had cold brew, you guys.
I would love to join. And I will now give you the dickings of a lifetime.
That's exactly how I saw this playing out.
If Tucci was Kelsey, coming on the show, I'd redesign the studio.
Yeah. I would like muzzle us all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let us all talk. I'd just be like, guys, shut the fuck up.
We need meetings to decide on how.
We need to do like a full on season of the rehearsal, Nathan Fielder style, to know every.
Kind of like what we did for Fast and Furious interviews.
Oh my God.
Remember that? I can't believe that happened.
Do you notice that we have a real thing for bald men?
Yeah.
Soft spoken bald men.
I think that's so strong.
Where were we?
Who cares?
Who cares, man?
If your hero.
Yeah.
Said that they didn't respect you.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So, like, yeah, that shit hurt me. That hurt me to my fucking core. And it's kind of the reason why I'm afraid to meet anybody I look
devastating.
To. It's not even because it's not even them saying that they're disappointed in your work or anything like that. It is truly just I have this idea of who you are. Yeah. And I think this movie does a really good job of that. I have this idea of who you are in my head, and if that is any different in any type, in any slight or anything like that, I'll be so devastated. I'll be so upset that you are just not the person that I thought you were.
Look, they say never meet your heroes because inevitably they won't stand up to who you think they are, right?
Exactly.
And maybe you're just going to meet them on a bad day or whatnot.
Right.
But also something I think about with my favorite filmmakers. I don't think I would want to because our references are different, right?
Right.
Like, my reference is their work, and I love their work, but their work is references to stuff that, frankly, I don't know or fuck with the same way.
Right. Yeah.
And so
Casablanca.
Sure, right?
Yeah.
But there's this, like, fear of disappointing people that you look up to.
Absolutely.
And then being like, oh, I got nothing to talk to you about because everything I know I've learned from you.
Right, right. Man. And then there's the age gap. It's just like you're 20 years older than me. So all of the things that you have dealt with and what your life has amounted to is completely different than what mine has or mine is.
Okay, I will say, though, I have had the opposite where I've, like, met some, not heroes, but, like, cool people. One I'm thinking about is y'all know that I'm a huge fan of Yola and her music, and now we're, like, super tight.
Yeah, right.
Getting with her on Friday. And, like, that's a very cool, special feeling.
Yeah,
so I think it's time we move on to fun facts
with Zach's back.
Here's a recipe that my dad used to cook on a Friday night.
Oh my God.
What was it? I'm dying to know.
It was aglio e olio.
Pasta, aglio e olio.
Oh, that's just pasta with olive oil.
No, it's pasta with olive oil and parsley and red pepper flakes and garlic, and it's really fucking good and
right,
simple.
Right, but it's very simple.
Yeah, super simple.
When it's done
and
well.
Lemon juice.
Because of Meryl Streep's height, she's 5'6". Several camera, set, and costume tricks were employed to mimic Julia Child's height, which was 6'2", as someone said. Countertops were lowered. Streep wore extra high heels, as Kelsey guessed. And there were forced perspective camera angles.
Nice.
Wow.
Let's go.
There it is.
I fully yelled at you being like, this idiot.
This was, by the way, Meryl's 16th acting nomination.
Yeah. I mean, she rules, man.
She was fucking fantastic. And I don't think we even touched on it enough, even though we did touch on it. Oh,
she was wonderful.
She was fucking fantastic in this movie.
She's the character.
We don't need to spend any more time talking about it.
And
apparently,
I think that this is the benefits or the advantages of being method is that you do just give such a convincing character performance.
Yeah. Although, you know what I've heard about her is that she's not method at all. In fact, she's quite the opposite.
And she did it for Prada.
Oh, really?
That's why we were just talking. That's why I brought it up.
The only reason I say that is because I've heard a story, and maybe she, I mean, it's obvious, she's probably a different movie. She does different stuff.
Yeah.
But I've heard a story of her doing a scene in some fucking movie. I can't remember. She's like weeping in the scene. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as they call cut, she's like, all right, like, what are we doing for lunch? Like,
that's
coming
great.
Coming fully out of it to make everyone comfortable. I mean, Devereaux's Prada is such a specific role.
Yeah.
And that's also a little earlier on in her career, too.
Maybe it's something it was a year earlier.
Well, no. I don't think she was method in this. Maybe she was.
Could you imagine? She goes home and she's like,
lunch, everybody?
I think it would be fucking insane if she wasn't method for this.
So funny.
And action.
Yeah.
It's also funny, I mean, we didn't talk about this, but like to see Meryl doing a big character.
Right.
Because she's an actor usually of subtlety, right?
Yeah, but like, I saw her acting in some of this. Not in a bad way. Like I saw her.
You are whining.
You are whining. I saw, like, especially when she would pause, she'd do these pauses before talking. I was like, that's the Meryl pause.
Yeah, I know. I get what you're saying.
You know, no, fuck off, Miles.
I'm agreeing with you.
are whining.
Not that I think she needed to win for this, because like she would just win for everything. But you know who she lost the Oscar to?
Who?
Sandy Bullock in The Blind Side.
Yuck.
Okay. Yikes.
All right.
Yike.
I just thought that movie was so weird.
Yike.
Yeah. I think that was the general
consensus. You are correct. You are correct.
I just think it's blah, blah, blah. It's so weird or whatever whenever I'm like talking about shit, but that people generally think.
Yes.
I mean, that's only because I don't read. So,
no, like, we started this with you read a book before. Yeah. Or was that yesterday?
That was yesterday.
My bad.
So Nora Ephron, the great Nora Ephron, in her research for this, discovered that Julianne Paul had a fervent, virulent, out of control, sexual relationship. And they wrote enthusiastically about it to their friends in letters.
That's fucking hot.
That's hot.
That's
we
sick.
Fucked.
Do you think?
Sincerely, me.
Sincerely, me. Do you think they brought food into the bedroom?
Amy Adams was in that movie.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're right.
Which movie?
Dear Evan Hansen.
She was the mom.
Oh.
An iconic role.
Yeah.
Do you think they brought food into the bedroom?
I think Nora was writing this on her typewriter and went, get me Stanley.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. By the way, speaking of, I mean, there's so many fucking good moments in this, but I want a gif of her when she finishes chopping the onions and goes, and all the other people are still working. It's like such a satisfying shot and moment.
Yeah. The best, trailer moment.
My favorite scene is when she's practicing chopping onions. It's the scene right before that. And
crying?
Tucci walks in and like his eyes sting. And it's like this little banter that feels so real. It almost feels improvised.
Yeah.
Where she's like, where are you going? He's like, well, anywhere else. It's just so good.
Yeah.
So, we talked about this and I'm actually kind of stunned. So, when the script was written, the public did not know, and then the film's creators also didn't know, that Julia was, in fact, a top secret researcher for the OSS. I don't know what the OSS is.
Wait, so she was a spy?
She was a spy.
Oh my God.
I think that they go into that. There's a Julia Child series on HBO Max that is about their life and her cooking show.
This was bad as fuck.
So the records were declassified by the time the film came out. What? The filmmakers decided to stick with the original plot and not like change it, except they put in that one conversation where the dinner guests go, are you a spy?
And she says,
They say yes as a joke. And so that was like a nod.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's cool.
The OSS, I'm going to read it. I thought it was the Soviets. It's not. The OSS is the Office of Strategic Services and the intelligence agency of the United States during World War II.
Wow. She bad as fuck.
That's crazy.
Bad as fuck. And then we haven't talked about her, but this was written by the late, great Nora Ephron, also directed by her. Yeah. And last night, we had a really unfortunate revelation. So Nora Ephron...
Why does he always pick on me?
She directed Sleepless in Seattle.
Amazing.
You've Got Mail. Yes. And she wrote, to me, the greatest love story of all time, When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
Kelsey has not seen any of those movies.
A lot of classics, Kelsey.
Yeah.
I was busy.
I love that as an excuse.
In high school, doing what? Like,
what do you think? Doing drugs, having sex, fucking, Railing, making Ritalin. A name for myself, writing my penthouse.
Sorry, we didn't fuck as much in high school.
Yeah, no, you should be.
When I tell you the way that I fully stood, walked 10 feet away, bent over.
He scared Bowie.
When she said that she had never seen When Harry Met Sally, and I like
what did I
jaw?
Say? I go, that's the Cameron Diaz one, right?
Wait, what are you talking about? The Holiday?
And I, when she said that's the Cameron Diaz one,
what's the one with cum in her hair?
No,
that's when Harry. That's
something a long about Mary.
It's something about Mary. I was gonna say a long
You've
game.
Holly. Also a great movie. When Harry Met Sally, Billy Crystal. And fucking what's
I want to give a shout out to Natalie, who heard the episode where I said I'd never watched Clueless, and she sent me a full Clueless care package. Glasses, the DVD, a t-shirt, pens, puffy pens. I have no idea how, like, I don't know how I'm going to watch a DVD, but... God.
What
Thank
the fuck?
You, Natalie. Yeah.
Natalie, okay, Natalie, I've never seen Uncut Gems. Send me diamonds.
Yeah, right?
Julie and Julia, I would
the
like
fuck
a
is
pestle
this?
And mortar.
Oh my God.
Anyway, carry on.
So you've never seen a Meg Ryan movie?
I don't think so.
Wow.
You got to get into it.
Yeah.
Can we do Meg Ryan month?
I would love.
No.
It's not going to roll off the tongue like Tujie. Although we could do
time.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Millie Bobby December.
Millie Bobby month.
I just want you to know the way that you're like, that we're like, this bitch has never eaten an egg. How are we going to listen to
it's
her?
It's the exact
food
same
blog?
Way with
You've never seen Harry Met Sally. We have a movie podcast.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
We're going to do a month called Kelsey's Never Seen.
Yeah, I think so.
Classics month.
I think that's
I mean, by the way, there's a lot I haven't seen.
Yeah, same here.
But I'm just.
I was watching like fucking Pulp Fiction
but the
and
ones that
Clockwork
you
Orange in high school.
The I mean, ones that you haven't seen are completely in line with your personality.
That's what makes
That's
it shocking.
So shocking.
Interesting. So basic?
No.
Classic? Perfect.
Classic and good.
Yeah,
good.
Classic and good.
And what I love about this movie too, I mean, this is Nora Ephron through and through. It's shot on film.
I
it like,
love
yeah,
film.
It like has it. This textural graininess. Yeah. I mean, it takes place in 2001, but it feels... like one of those they don't make it anymore. It's like Tucci as a movie.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. The filmmaking style is not trying to... It's before the resurgence... We've talked about this a lot, I feel like. But the resurgence of filmmaking trying to outsmart tropes and trying to like get under the skin of the viewer where it's like, you're not expecting us to start the movie in this way where what if the main character hated everything?
Yeah.
But I do think it did kind of outsmart tropes.
It does. No,
it does.
You're
expecting it to have this whole fallout with a lot of the characters, and then it just never really does.
Totally.
We're now subtly into the, is this movie a pleasure, guilty pleasure, just plain guilty, so I'll just keep it rolling. I think it's a pleasure, and Nora Ephron, she's so deft as a filmmaker and has this invisible touch where there's a real traditionalism to her framing a lot of the time. Her directing is invisible. You don't think of the movies that she makes as necessarily well-directed, but there's really smart framing, very economical framing and lighting. She's just
awesome.
A
only,
really
like,
sharp filmmaker.
Moving shot that like I was like, that's a clearly a Dolly or
like her signature
was in the very beginning when her and Tucci are eating a meal together and it's like on them for a moment. And then as they go into the scene, the camera moves around in a half circle like, okay, we're getting started.
There's
and then it doesn't
shot.
Do that again.
Yeah, but there's a one take that's like really long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very economical as a filmmaker and has an invisible touch. And this is the last film that she made before she passed. I don't think that this is the best movie in her filmography. I don't even think it's close, frankly.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
But she... Is
she made When Harry Met
You
Sally.
Yeah. My are whining.
Directed by the great Rob Reiner, the fucking goat. But like, I just think she's so underrated as a filmmaker. We sing her praises as a writer, but as a filmmaker, like there's just great, really smart framing. We talk about the shot of her making that chocolate cake, like the way that that's lit, the what she chooses to put in the frame and not put in the frame. She knows what the fuck she's doing.
Yeah.
So put some respect on Nora Ephron's name. Okay. She's not just a writer. She's a director. She's one of the greats. I love her work. Mm-hmm. She means so much to me.
Wow.
I hope that her legacy lives strong forever and ever.
Give it to me, Tucci.
And she gave us the fucking hottest Tucci that has ever existed.
Yeah. For real.
Absolutely.
So I would say this is a hard pleasure for me. But I think that one of the reasons I wanted to do it for this show is because I think that I've said that this is one of my favorite movies to a lot of people. And I think a lot of people seen it.
Yeah.
And people are like, what? Like, that's so weird. And they think it's like a classic rom-com-y whatever movie.
It feels frivolous even in the title.
Yes. Julie and Julia. Like, what? You know, it's about Julia Child. Why? But it's so unexpectedly phenomenal. Yeah. And I think that that's why it's a hard pleasure. Also, I really want to, I'm saying this out loud so nobody steals it, even if they do, but I want to do Julie and Julia and Miles, where I just make the recipes from the movie.
Great.
How many are there in the movie?
There's only like 10 or 15 that she actually makes that are on camera.
Yeah.
But there's some of the weird jello ones.
What if you do jello. Julie, Julia, and Miles, and it's you doing a vlog following the blog,
following
the book.
So exactly.
You could recreate all 524.
Oh my
and just
God!
Follow
say goodbye to Miles.
But you don't have to do it in a year.
He's becoming
do
a
it
father.
Over 5 years,
yeah, exactly. But I would love to make little French meals for my little French boy,
my little French baby, little baby.
The pain that I had knowing that if I ate any of these dishes, I would
die.
Shotgun out of my asshole the way that Kelsey pees. I would. It would kill me. All that butter.
Oh, a lot of butter.
Yeah, I think it is a hard pleasure as well. I think that this is framed like You've Got Mail, where is that? That's the name of the movie, right?
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. I was looking for a reaction of You've Got Mail. But anyway, I think that it is the exact same framing, but the love story isn't between people emailing each other or mailing each other. It is between someone writing a blog about someone else and like falling in love with them. And then it's unrequited, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Because like at the end, usually the couple gets together and all that stuff and it wraps up in a bow and it's really nice and it's really sweet. But she's like, no, I don't like this bitch. I'm sorry.
And it is
Fuck
beautiful
you.
That we didn't talk about it earlier that like Julie and Julia never reconcile that
at all
in the movie.
Yeah.
But Julie still like, doesn't matter. I still love her.
Yeah.
And that's nice.
I did read an article about that it was a little bit more hyped as a, what is the word you just used?
Rivalry?
Yes. That actually
contentious
was.
Relationship?
Yes. That like it was like, yeah, Julia Childs was not very serious of a person and that they never did meet, but that she didn't hate her.
I'm sure she didn't give a fuck. She was like, I'm 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's time for My Pleasure, stuff that we are loving in media. This is one that I'm very excited to tell people about, okay? I want you to listen up. This is the best recommendation I will ever give you on this show. It is called Radio. That's with 4 O's at the end. This is the coolest music discovery app you will ever find, okay? It is free. I want you to imagine a map of the world. Click any country. Give me a country.
Tanzania.
Lithuania.
Lithuania and Tanzania. Okay, we're going to go Tanzania because Kelsey said it first. Then I want you to pick a decade. Let's say 1960. It's going to give you curated music from that country in that decade.
That's sick.
Also, it's the
sick
app is so cute.
It's super cute. It is not, this is not like algorithmic Spotify discovery. These are music heads around the world uploading their collection, their vinyls, and they are going to give you, like, you're just going to find such sick music. I'm really into Zamrock of the 1970s, Zambian music. So, like, you can get into that, but, like, you can go into Sweden in the 60s or, like, what was Italy listening to in the 80s? So fun.
You can pick the year 2070.
Yeah, and then they have, like, the future music. It's cool. I mean, like, even now, like, sometimes I'll just listen to America 2000s, and I'm like, I missed all this. Because, again, it's not, like, top hits. This is music heads giving you stuff that you will not find anywhere else. It rules. Love it. Radio with 4 O's.
Cool. Yeah, I've screamed about this to you guys in the group text and also last night. But there's a show on Amazon Prime called Mammals. It is starring James Corden.
Who you love.
Who I love. I love the way he screams at waiters at the top of his lungs.
It's awesome.
And I forget the other actress's name. But... They it's truly fantastic. It's written by a guy named Jez Butterworth, and he did.
That's a fake ass name.
No, it's real. It's very real.
Jez Butterworth.
Jez.
Jez.
No.
Butterworth.
That's the Julia Child's porn parody.
Yeah, hilarious. But he did Edge of Tomorrow. He wrote that. And
oh, my gosh, incredible.
I think that this is truly one of the better written things I've watched in a while.
Yeah,
I don't have like a full synopsis of it because I don't want to give it away, but it's very good.
My pleasure. I watched Barbarian. Fucking rules. Don't read anything about it. Don't.
That
watch
was my pleasure last week.
Oh shit! Oh,
yeah. And me and Eugene have talked extensively about this.
It rules. It's fucking so good. It's like one of my favorite.
We think
movies
it's
I've
a comedy.
I was.
It's kind of a comedy.
I described it as a movie that goes from spooky to kooky.
It is definitely that. Yeah.
It's so good. I was actually listening on my way in today a DGA podcast with the director about that.
No way. Huh. That rules.
My pleasure is I'm going digital media. I'm going TikTok. I'm going kind of a little outside of our movies and film and TV. I love Home Goods as a side hobby. I like to decor my house over and over again. I love to redesign things. I love tchotchkes. Yeah. I have a real problem about it. I started a company about tchotchkes over the pandemic. And there's a girl on TikTok called @getshelfhelp where she goes into Home Goods and like designs a section based on Home Goods items. So that's if there's cool. just like a table, she'll go around Home Goods and like design something. And I'm absolutely obsessed. I binge all of her stuff. So if you like me, like Home Goods and home decor, go watch.
If you like me, like Home Good.
if you like me, like Home Goods.
Well, that's it. That's Tucci Month. We did it. We came. We saw.
We came. Again.
We Tucci'd. And I just want you to know, I heard from y'all. You wanted more Tucci.
Why?
Many of you were like, where's Easy A? Where's Burlesque?
Mm-hmm.
Tucci Month. We'll ride again.
Here's a recipe that my dad used to cook on a Friday night.
I'm at Corny and all the things.
I'm Kelsey Darrow at all the things.
I'm Garrett Bernard at all the things.
I'm Miles Bond on all the things.
Oh, right. Yeah, Miles.
I was a guest this week.
Oh, again. Yeah. Right. Normally I say, hey, Miles, what do you have to promote? Perfect Person.
Yeah, listen to Perfect Person.
He's looking for an editor.
Miles has a great Miles has a great podcast, and that's go right. listen to it.
Yeah, damn right. It's fantastic.
And I plugged it after everyone had already tuned out. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to have you on.
Okay. Yeah, you
have
will.
Have you not gone on his podcast yet?
No, and I like to give him shit about it.
Oh, okay.
He's like, no, I'm saving you.
I'm holding it because I know it'll be a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah. They, I mean, the people are going to be like, oh my God, Miles and Zach together, finally.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't wait. We and until next time, a Merry Tucci Month to you all.